Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Stage Right Podcast. I'm Carlos Estevez, and along with my co-host, Chris McCone, we will talk about life on the road, share advice, stories, perspectives, and help deepen your understanding of everything tour.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Stage Right Podcast. This week, we have the amazing Slogan.
Hello.
And Carlos can edit that intro out after the fact.
I know I've been the best intro I've ever had, actually.
Perfect. We'll leave it then. Fuck it. Just roll with
it. It's better that way.
And as he's been labeled, not the legend, but the myth.
Yes, all myths.
How you doing, Slogan? Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Aptos, just in Santa Cruz here, from the deep in the fires.
Yes, straight in there. How are you guys doing with that? Is it getting close to you?
It's not too close to me yet, but it's in the safe zone. Like the car's covered in ash, and it's hard to, you know, you have to have an N95 mask to go outside to breathe.
Well, that's just normal life, isn't it?
Yeah, good thing we're prepared.
Yeah, I remember originally that's why I had like a few of those N95 masks because of living out there in California and the fires and stuff last year. They got so bad that you had to have those.
Yeah, since I was being ready for this.
Well, I wanna jump right in right now. And that Slogan and Los have known each other a long, long time.
Dude, it's been like, what, 8 years pretty much on the dot, huh?
Has it been eight? It was towards the, like, I called you when I was at Red Rocks because of, Emo gave me his new number.
Yes.
And I called you and he was working sound there or something like that. I think it was with the Pepper Guys or Sublime. Can't remember, but
I think he was with the Pepper Guys for that show.
And I was scrambling for somebody in Florida. Yeah, 8 years,
dude. I'll never forget that call, dude. It was pretty awesome. It was I remember it was basically like, hey man, you might not make the most money, but you're gonna have the most fun.
Very true.
And dude, that was absolutely true, man. That run was still one of my favorites, dude. It was so short fun. But super sweet. A lot of fun every night. Great so shows fun. Too.
What was the lineup on that run?
I believe it was Revolution and Pacifier, yeah.
Yeah. And the Expendables.
Yeah, it was like a little amphitheater run.
Yeah, all like Florida dates. Mm-hmm. Super fun.
Downpour in St. Augustine.
Classic. Yeah. Sideways Rain.
That was a crazy little road trip, right? That's when we found out Ryan was diagnosed.
Right, dude.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was a whole, you were like, you came in like the swarm of like family. It was cool. I'm like, bad and cool working, like seeing you come in with it. You like kind of saved my ass to get through everything.
Diagnosed with what?
He had cancer, lymph node.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and, you know, and after that, we were deciding like we were going to do the next tour. We had to have someone to fill in because he had to go start riding the chemo. And Carlos is part of the family right there coming in and helped us all. It's pretty cool, though, that you stepped up and filled in and while working with Eric. Remember Eric from Poor Habit?
Dude, yeah. I love that guy, man.
Yeah, he filled in and learned how to play bass for Ryan.
Yep.
The kid's pretty damn talented.
Dude. Yeah, man. But actually, Sean is like a huge part of why I, you know, got involved in this scene too, man. And also moved to Santa Cruz and California, which I'm eternally grateful for. It's
I remember driving you up to the city, working on getting your green card.
Right. Yeah, it's a San Francisco. Yeah, it's an embassy. Fuck. That's right.
Remember I kept wanting to pull the green card on you when you got it.
Yep. Yeah.
Green card on the field.
The best. On the field. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, I remember those like, man. What a trip. I remember you living in town. It was so fun.
I know, man. I really miss it. I feel like Santa Cruz is such a gem and it really like changed my life, dude, for the better, like creatively and friendship wise and wow, dude, it was such a great experience living over there. I loved it. You're so lucky to be from there, dude. Such a fucking awesome town and great culture.
I appreciate that. That's why I'm like, it makes me feel good that I don't want to leave. I just love the fact that Chris remembered my dad.
What a legend.
Chris has like a really good memory, man. It's impressive.
Okay, that is not a fact. I forget everything.
Yeah, it's true.
By the way, that was the year that my dad like made a memory for everybody. I think he was just on fire. It's like I just let him roam backstage at Kelly Roots, and he's like, "Did you know who I met? Did you know who I met?" I'm like, "Yes,
straight awesome. Rager." And I remember I walked up to him, and we were all just partying, and he was sitting outside his little camper. And like we got called over because he knew one of like someone in our group, and we just stayed there for a good like 2 hours. Just
oh my god, dude! Yeah, Sean, you're like looking at your dad, dude. It's like staring at a future you almost.
Oh, it's like it's I know such now. A trip, I know. I learned from looking at my dad to go, I need to drink more water because he doesn't drink water, and I'm like, okay, now I know how to work. I need to work on myself to drink more water. Maybe.
Yeah, dude. That's. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Were you ever part of the my dad used to do the airport drop-offs with the Expendables?
No, I don't think I did.
Dropping off what?
Dropping off at the airport and the pickups. My dad was a legend with that. Like one, I'll give you a short story with this, and I wish you were there for this. We had a one-off in Utah, and my dad was going to pick us up, so he's swinging to get me before we get the van, and he's running behind. I'm like, "Dad, where are you?" And he gets out of his car, and he's taking off these cowboy boots. And going, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, I got to change my shoes. You know, I have my boots on." I'm like, "Well, why do you have cowboy boots?" Because I'm like, "Oh, because it came with this jacket." And I went, "Okay, what'd you get?" He's like, "Oh, it's a duster jacket." And I'm just looking, going, "Why'd you get a duster jacket?" And he goes, "Because it was on sale." And I'm like, "Get in the car. Just get in the car. There's too many questions. Just get in the car." So we're driving, and he's telling me, he's like, "Yeah, he was in Texas." And he's like, "Oh, I saw this boots, and they don't really get this jacket." So he got this thing for 70% off or something. And he's telling the guys now, he's telling the Expendables, and Raul is just loving it and saying, like, "Oh,
of course." And
so we dared him to pick us up, if he like ever picked us up, naked with just the duster jacket on.
Oh my God.
So we're like joking around, giving him shit, like, you know, thinking it'll never happen. And then we come back and we land in Oakland. Luckily, it's like a less busier airport. And I'm getting all the gear out of like the oversized, you know, and I'm sending people, you know, to send over to the pile away from my dad. And each time someone got over there, they dropped down laughing from the distance. And I'm like, "What the hell is going on over there?" And I come out there, and my dad is luckily wearing only beige shorts, shirtless, doing this in front of the van.
Oh my God.
And I just see TSA running at him.
Wow,
dude. Yeah, they kept yelling at me, "Get back in the van and do your loops."
Yeah. I think Oakland's probably the best airport in the Bay Area that could have happened.
Yeah, wow. My dad loved like getting involved with the music stuff, just pickups and drop-offs like that.
Fucking legend, dude. I love that guy. Dude, yeah, so for people that don't know, Sean is the big creative force behind Cali Roots Festival in California and Arizona. Anywhere else in the future?
I'm not sure yet. Everything's kind of been on pause. I'm not sure if you guys know that.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there was talks of a bunch of other places and stuff right now, but everything's kind of just a holding pattern for the meantime.
For sure, dude. Yeah, unfortunately.
As it should be, though.
You guys are planning for next March, yeah?
I believe May. Yeah, we're still shooting for next year for May. You know, see where, you know, things go and see how, like, you know, numbers, if they plateau. But California seems to be not really hanging in there really well.
Yeah, I mean, the whole country, man. It's, yeah. Sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fucking wear your mask so we can get back to work.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I miss music. I miss going to see music.
Yeah, it's horrible, man. I can't believe everything's canceled. We should be on tour right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I should be out going out and annoying everybody.
Yeah. Just punishing away, having fun.
Yes.
Just coming out to the best shows and getting away.
Catching up on stupid things and old times and making new stupid things and old times.
Exactly, man. Dude, so Sean, how'd you get like started in the art world, first of all? And then how'd you end up in the music business? And why'd you get out of it? Or like why, you know, what made you get out? Not get out fully, but just pursue your art full time.
It's a little tangling of love.
Love it.
Basically, art's been in my family for a very long time. My grandfather was a successful artist in New York. He designed like the Great Poupon bottle and like worked on campaigns like Flicker Bic and stuff. That was all his campaigns. Like basically, like Mad Men. He worked in like those crazy buildings.
So he was Donald Draper.
Could have amazing. Could have been possible, but not that. I don't think that attractive. She's much shorter.
Hashtag man crush.
Red hair.
Yeah, full. Yeah, I think it was a ginge. Then, my dad, he told my dad not to become an artist. And my dad's like, hey, if you want to become an artist, you can. It's in our family. And so he started showing me how to draw and stuff like that because he's got it. Like, it's in his, I think, our messed up, funny, crazy genes that we have. And then I got introduced to punk rock when I was like 12 from my cousin. And so I made my first live show, which was Bad Religion at the Santa Cruz Civic. And like, just,
wow,
that's it. Love this, all of it. Like, got thrown in the pit the first time. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. And I couldn't stop going to shows since then. And then I went to shows basically like 5 to 6 days a week, like little punk venues and stuff all over. I'd hitch rides up to San Francisco, like at 14 with a bunch of skate friends and stuff. So I always wanted to be in music. So then I joined a punk band. We made one with Ryan DeMars from The Expendables. So he sang. My friend Cole, who's another really good artist, played drums. And my friend Scott played bass, and I played guitar. It was super fun. We did that. Then Ryan said, hey, I'm leaving to go play for this band called Expendables. And I'm like, oh, have fun. They're probably way better than we are. And then, lo and behold, they were. And then Ryan asked me later, like, hey, you want to draw a T-shirt for us? And then that was the No Time to Worry, which was the CD cover. And then that's how it kind of started rolling. So I just wanted to keep helping them. Because my whole thing was like growing up on Metallica and like Misfits, like Pusshead, the artist, got attached to a band. And then, you know, he climbed with helping, you know, doing the artwork with them. So that was kind of like my goal. So got to do Open Container. And then I started really bonding with the guys when I lived in San Francisco. And they all stayed at my house. I housed them for a month when they're recording and getting filthy. Then I had this.
I love that cover too. That good filter.
And that's where they stayed in that. That was my garage. They slept in. So that's all their trash stuff. And like we played Beer Dye, and that was supposed to be a Beer Dye table for them. So that's why Pain isn't. They're like, well, we don't want to play in it now. So then I think they gave it to the Hard Rock or something later now. But so we bonded, and I started going on a weekend trips from them from time to time, just to party. Then I realized, like, hey, I think I can do something here. And then all of a sudden, that snowballs that I started becoming a tour manager, wanted to help and tech and fix shit, and then became a job. But then I started missing artwork because I was like doing artwork off tour, and I was like, great opportunities were coming, and I kept missing them because I was so devoted to helping the guys. So I had to get off the road to start drawing,
sure,
which was 7 years ago. And I've just been still working music, but just artwork.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. Basically, that's how it all happened.
That's super like organic. I feel like, you know, just following your passion and like kind of falling into place in a way, like into your art, into the music, into, you know, what you love, what you wanted to be around with. It's pretty sweet.
It was just like, I knew like there was no money, and it's like, I figured that, so I'll make it work. And then.
Yeah. So that's how it is in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
There's tons of money and just all unlimited budgets.
Yeah.
Straight into a bus. Oh, wait. We're talking about the beginning.
Yes, the beginning.
So, dude, paint a picture. Paint a picture of the beginning. How about that? Let's see. What's your experience? What are your like some of your memories of like starting out with the Expendables and, you know, doing some of these weekend trips? And what was that like?
The funniest, craziest experience ever. And it reminded me so much of my punk rock friends growing up. And I was like, whoa, this is awesome. It's like, I kind of knew the guy's been like, first time getting pulled down, we're going down there, we're drinking beers the whole way down. I think we're going to Slow. Avila Beach. It was a one night. And we're on our way down. And I remember in the van, I'm like, hey, I got to pee. And I think Raul's driving. So I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, no problem. The van's full. And I don't know the rules yet. So Raul just veered like he's about to get off and go, nope. Kept doing this. Yeah, nope. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then Cam or someone says, like, just piss in a can. I'm like, all right. So like I had a lot of pee. So I had like three Coors Light cans torn off. So I'm trying to pee in these things so I don't cut my dick. In a van full of bumps and stuff. I'm like doing this. And then I had to hold them the whole way. And I'm going, I should have. Now I know to bring a water bottle. That was my first experience. And like, dude, with the Expendables, man, it's a whole nother level, I feel, of like just hilarity. And it's like, oh, not jackass, but like just a brotherhood of just deal with it. And a lot of laughing. A lot of laughing.
Totally.
They had a point, though. It's like, we stop. Like, we're going to lose, like, an hour. Because everybody's going to go out. Everybody's going to get food. Everyone's going to do this. It's like, we're not stopping because you have to pee.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. And those are little things that get, I think...
It's a great rule.
Instilled into your head as a tour manager or production manager, any kind of position attached with that word attached. The fact that on the road, any minute that you waste could potentially be a disaster should anything arise or, you know, anything on the way, throwing chains on.
Oh, don't get me started.
Oh, should we go into that story? Yeah.
I'll let you have some of that one. I'll fill in. But man, yeah, you can need buffers, and those buffers can't be lost because you have to pee. No, hold it or piss in a jar or try and squeeze it out the window.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, that's another thing that I loved with the Expendables, man, that we were all like a team, man, and we worked like a unit. I loved that. The fact that I remember we were, I think it was Colorado or somewhere in Tahoe in California, and it was snowing super bad, and we needed to put chains on the bus. And usually, like on other tours, those are jobs that like the bus driver does, and you know, he doesn't bother anyone. But dude, I loved how you ran the team, and you know, it taught me a big lesson to work like that and think like that, you know, to have that mentality.
Well, I mean, we all did it together.
Yeah, Sean wakes me up and he's like, "Hey, we gotta put chains on." And I was like,
Chains?
Like question mark, like what are chains, dude? You know, like and like it's just absolutely freezing in this highway and like I have no idea what chains are, clearly. And we each kind of take like a corner and we're supposed to put it on. I've never even seen a chain. So I think Kenny was driving us.
Yeah.
And he just goes. And basically, I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Sean comes around and he's like, "Dude, what are you doing?"
But I wanted to laugh so hard because I knew how pissed off Kenny was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to move the bus again now. And I'm all, you know what? I should have known that when he said chains, he didn't know what chains were. He is from Florida and Venezuela. I'm not sure how many chains they're using here.
Dude, yeah, I mean, I had never done a winter tour with you guys yet, and that was a big... big entry into that for sure.
Yeah. Was it a winter blackout tour, right? Or no, was it the Domination tour?
I think it was the...
Might have been that...
No, I think the...
Domination tour.
Might have been the Domination tour, yeah.
Yeah, because it got called on that one.
It did, yeah, fuck. That was a long one. That was like a 12, 13-week run.
Yeah, definitely was.
Super fun, though. That was the first time like working with King and Peeps.
Oh my gosh. That Legends. Was so fun. Peepers.
Dude.
And I've known Peepers for a while prior to Iration.
With Nijo too.
Oh, Nijo. Yeah, is that when he broke his hand or no?
Wait, what? Nijo broke his hand?
No, that's when he broke the bong at the Norva.
What?
You're right. That story's
Dude, what legends, all those guys. Holy shit.
I feel like he broke his hand also at the Norva too, but not that same tour. I think it might be a Pepper tour. He was doing merch with Pepper, I think. Because all I know is that his hand was broken like this, and I drew a shaka. So, so his hand always looked like a shaka.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Shout out to our boys, Peeps, all those guys, Nijo.
That was so fun. They're great guys. Like, all of them.
Kenny was one of the most interesting bus drivers I think I've had still to this day.
Yeah.
Sean, why don't you paint the picture of Kenny?
Let me give you the best introduction to this, and especially how the band didn't believe me. So the first time I hired this guy, I got like wind of him. Like, he was on Warp Tour and stuff like that. Like, everyone, you know, ranted and raved about him. Like, he's like the best. And then we got him and he showed up and like, second day in, I look down and he's driving side saddle. So he's driving with his left foot. And I'm going, that's not normal. And then he wore shorts and went, oh, that makes sense. He's missing a leg. So he had a prosthetic leg for his right, usually the driving foot. I was like, huh. And so I'm like, of course, how'd you lose it? I didn't, you know, tiptoe around that one, no pun intended. And he said, a bus accident. And I went, a bus accident. He told us, like, he took explain the story. It wasn't, you know, his fault or anything like that. But I'm like, all right. But by the way, smoothest driver, best sleep I've ever had. Like, I wasn't worried, no rumble strip crap. Not like, this is it. But, so I told the guys that Raul's all funny, real funny. Like, Adam's like, no, bullshit, whatever. And then he came up late night one night in shorts. Just their mouths like, Yeah. He would take it off from time to time and mess with us.
Yeah, I remember one time Eric was like complaining about his bunions. And Kenny just goes, while he's driving, like, you want to see my bunions?
And then a leg comes out.
A leg just appears from the curtain into the front lounge. God.
Yeah.
Like some sort of magic act. That was pretty awesome.
Did the iRaiders have Kenny for a little while there? Hey, Ken?
We did. It was, I think it was just one with me at least.
You had Kenny, Chris?
I think we had Kenny, yeah, with Kristen. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. I know Colin was, you know, had him for a little bit.
Yeah, that was a... Dude, yeah, that's when they had Frank and we had Kenny. And Frank would come to stage and play harmonica
and
soundcheck.
And Kenny would play his leg.
Yes.
He pretended it was a guitar and he would do this.
Air leg. Those were good times, man.
It was like watching was grumpy old men, though, with those guys like out front, like Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, scream at each other on how to park a bus.
Yeah, yeah.
Frank.
Two big personalities.
But Frank. Frank. By God. By God.
Frank.
Did you?
By God.
I shaved my head on Warped Tour and I looked just like his kid. I had a mustache and I shaved the bald part and I wore a white V-neck t-shirt.
Oh my God.
He was so, angry he was laughing. God, Frank.
Dude, so tell me, Sean, how do you like get inspired to like where do you find inspiration usually? Especially for like something like Cali Roots that you change the theme like every year. I feel like you change it up and do something super cool every year, man. I love seeing what you come up with.
It's this nice, fun, stressful adventure. But it's like happy stress. Because I want to outdo it each time. And then it comes from either Jeff or Dan. They have like an idea that's kind of loose. And it's like, okay, do what you want, but we want something different. Nothing like, I'm like, okay. So me being me, I'm like, okay, let's see if I can trick people to not realize it's not, maybe it's not me this year. And like, I'm hoping I get those texts going, did you do the artwork this year? And I go, and I'm like, yes, I did it.
Yes.
The ideas has come from like, you know, it evolves during it mostly. It's like there's a loose idea, but then like how much depth I can put in it, and then try and do like possibly every angle of looking at it, like being like devil's advocate and being optimistic and pessimistic or whatever the concept would be, to make sure that no one just goes like, "Hey, you can't do that," and then it can steamroll out of an accident. Without like really putting that much depth into it, like trying to be appreciative to like be a full unity of an image. Totally. And it's a lot. It's hard sometimes. Like when I drew,
I bet, dude. Yeah.
When I draw all the people, it's like, or like when I use like, you know, when I like show hands or something like that, it's like, you know, I'm a white man, so like I'm just used to now see this, and I'm thinking like, well, this is not how the world is. So I have to like make sure and put everything else in there. Like, oh, like, no, it's not actually. Like, and then really read up on it. And like, really talk, like, oh, okay, this is how it is. Like, and then make sure there's women's hands. Make sure, like, you know, like, make sure everything's, like, you know, centered in unity out of my own bubble and try to live it as a unity.
Proper, yeah.
That's one thing. It's, like, the hardest thing to make sure I get right. Because I know I'm going to, I know I'm going to slip, but I'm okay because I get to learn something. But... see if I can get as much in there and try. So like, okay, you slip a ball in air for it at least, you know.
Find a little challenge, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard and fun, you know. When people find the Easter eggs in the pictures too, it makes me happy. So I hide like a little things in there.
That's something I love about your works, dude. There's always little details and hidden Easter eggs. Do you have a favorite year or favorite year for Cali Roots?
Oh,
yeah, which one?
For Cali Roots, well, it's probably the crowd one. The crowd one's full of all a bunch.
I love
it's got, it's got me hidden in there. It just became a beer lately for Altamont, and like I get to see it all over, and then
what?
And I get to see all,
you're on a beer.
I know. I'm on a beer.
That's like goals, right?
It's trippy.
That's awesome.
It's trippy.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of funny inside jokes in there. And a lot of people, like, there's a guy in there, like, they think is Micah, which it isn't. But I don't answer it just to mess with people, except for right now. But, like, it's like, no, all right. You know, and then they see things. People see what they want to see. And that one was super fun.
Art.
Like, yeah. Mixes, like, what the crowd really looks like. And that was
totally. Yeah, I love that one. That's just, like, the view from stage of the bowl. So
yeah,
cool.
And then there's a story behind that too, just a trip, is that I did that from checking the mic every day when I used to Guitar Tech. And I'm like, this is the view. Like, people understand this is the desk, like, people have to go to work at. And like seeing like the whole crowd. So I always wanted to do that image. I always had that idea. So I built the whole image. And then somebody later sent a picture. It was kind of similar. You know, it's people have done it before, the photography. And they tried to claim it was their idea. They wanted money. And what? Then Dan asked me, he's like, well, no, but.
Not a chance.
No, that's just, dude, yeah. And I was like, oh, come on.
Can't copyright a picture of a microphone from stage.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, of course people go there. But.
Yeah.
My whole concept was like, that was the view of like walking up. Like, I don't think I could do it. I'm like, I play music, but I don't think I could do it to, like that. Crowd size and staring at that much, that abyss of mayhem. It's pretty crazy. I go sure. check and go, so yeah, you guys deal with it now.
Yeah. All yours.
Don't be here when it goes bad and fix things.
Yeah. Going side stage in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. Stage right.
Stage right. That's baby. Right. Let's go.
What's your like go to? Do you have a playlist or something that you usually play when you're drawing or painting?
Right now, I've been a little more all over the map, but I used to, for a moment, I was working on Cali Roots and Emerald Cup at the same time, and I didn't want to get them crossed with the two like visions, so I had two different playlists to basically brainwash myself or hypnotize myself to get back in that mode. So
two different vibes, yeah, totally.
And I had to listen to it in key. It couldn't be in random. It had to be exactly the same flow. So it got old for a while, but it really worked.
Wow.
But now I'm all over the map. Like, I'll be like instrumental, like, you know, like Rodrigo Gabriela to like that Paul Cathan guy I've been showing you, or like, oh, okay, let's put on the Bronx right now. I love like it also like, oh, sick. Let's put on Sleep and Weed Eater. Like all, oh dude. And the punk stuff, like the fast stuff out of nowhere. Like, oh, I need it's like an espresso shot for me.
Yeah, Sean, I love that I can share punk music with you, man. Me and you, I feel like, have a similar upbringing in that sense, you know, in the punk rock world. And
such a nerd on it.
having those ideas like instilled in you, man, as a kid, it's great.
Well, that's what's so cool is that they overlap perfectly with the reggae genre, you know, just the rebel music. And it's like, it fit. That's why it made sense when I went on tour with Expendables. It's help.
Punk rock, like, slowed down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Same ideas.
Exactly.
That's same thing, so but true. Different. So
yeah.
True.
Yeah, that's why. And I'm like, this fits. I get it now. It's just, it's like a real feel of freedom. Do, like, totally. You know, do you want, you know, make sure your community is taken care of and help your community. And, you know, speak out when you're pissed.
Absolutely, man. Shit.
Yeah. So I love music. And it works with the art. It's like, if I can put a visual on that, capture it.
I think it goes hand in hand. I think that's one of the reasons I love vinyl so much, dude, because the artwork and how much it like meant back then.
I'm so happy it's back.
It's coming back in a huge way.
Yeah.
It's great.
I was so excited, like, that bands, like, when I did Slight Stupid's Meanwhile back at the lab cover, I was so stoked. Oof, yeah. I was so stoked. They're like, hey, we want to make a vinyl of this. And I was like, yeah. So I went apeshit.
Dude, yeah, I love that cover. that one has so many Easter eggs.
So many Easter eggs. And then when you open it too, like the whole, like this is the pedal board box. It's like, and it looks like they're on. Like it was so fun to like make sure.
So detailed. All the cables, the sub snakes. You can really geek out on that cover. I really like it.
I just like, I put so much more time than what the budget was and just, you know, did the budget. So that's what they wanted. But I was like, you know what? I don't care.
I remember. Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I wanted the back to be just almost as good as the front. We're like, which one do I like better? So like stuff. Totally, so like, I loved albums like that. Like Rick Griffin used to do that all the time. Like, you know,
great. Just like full open.
Yeah. It's like not just the cover; it's the whole experience, and that's what a vinyl is. You know, you just put it on and stare at the shit.
Yeah, it's like Michael Jackson's "Off the Wall," yeah.
Or the Who's Next.
I love that, dude.
The Who?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good call, Chris. Right there. Call. Dude, yeah, I love that. I think that shows, Sean, that you put in so much attention to detail to your work, dude. And the colors and the line work is just super clean and amazing. And of course, like all the Easter eggs like are well thought out and placed. And I love it, dude. I'm a big fan of your work.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thanks.
Yeah, dude, you're a big reason I actually even started painting, like, and started messing with acrylics.
Yeah, I've been seeing that, man. So. It's awesome.
Thank you.
It's sick. It's super sick. It's soothing, isn't it?
Dude, totally. It's, life-changing. I love painting now.
It's super fun. It's super fun and frustrating.
Yeah, it's, like, interesting when you find that challenge and then you, like, conquer it and you're just like, wow, that was some cool thinking and a lot of work, but worth it. Like, so rewarding when you... finish, you know?
Yep. And also knowing when to stop is a fun thing to learn.
Totally. Yeah. That happens to me with music and paintings, like knowing when it's done, you know, especially with mixing. Like, I feel like sometimes you just get stuck searching for perfection. how do you know when to stop?
There's a formula.
And you're like, it's done. Oh. I'm going to sign it.
Yeah, there is. There's a formula. There's exactly a formula that if I complete each step, it's done. And if I wanted to try more, I had to know ahead of time that I'm going to try this. And there's no wiggle room. It's done. Send it. Get it away or else you're going to hate this thing. Because you've been staring at it for so long, it's just uglier and uglier the more you look at it.
It's very true.
And then you don't realize it. Like, it's like probably like I've never really recorded an album, but I assume it's the same thing for musicians. Like, I've heard this enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, they talk about that with their old recording sessions, right? They would – a normal recording session – would be going to the studio, 3 hours, they would mix it, another 3 hours after the break of mixing, mix it again, and to be out the next week. You know, you just like shoot stuff out so quickly.
Yeah, I think that's a good example, like to not stare at it into it too long. Like with Thriller, there's one story I heard Bruce Houdin say that him and Michael were, you know, they were just, I think they did something like 60 or 80 something mixes of Billie Jean, and then Quincy Jones ended up picking mix number 2.
sounds about right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, 2. Second one, we're good.
Like, it's like almost going with your instinct. Like the first things that you do are usually the best and right. The more you overthink it, the deeper you dig yourself.
Well, it's tuning into your gut, basically. You know, like, you walk up to, like, oh, what do I want here? And, like, that one. But, oh, but this sounds good. Then you get that second thing, and you go, fuck! Should have the first thing. Looked way better.
Dude, do you have any, like, dream artists that you would, like, do a collab with, whether it's, like, a mural or some sort of, you know, a poster, tattoo, anything?
Oh, man. I mean, I would love to just maybe learn, like not collab, more just, like, follow and, like, help out would be, like the Ken Taylor.
Okay.
I like totally. That guy's rock posters are so sick. Just so detailed. Tristan Eaton, I really like his murals and his can work. Like, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah.
He's got it down. Like, it's like, wow, that's so much talent. Old artist, I wish I could have talked to Rick Griffin, you know, see what's going on, like how he did it, his concept. That was a big inspiration for me for rock art. Basically, plus that, I would like to hear his punk stories.
Oh, totally.
That guy's nuts.
Yeah.
He's got to have some fun ones.
I know, dude. I bet that was such a cool scene to have been a part of back in those days.
Oh, yeah. All the skateboarding and punk and metal at the
Perfect.
Time. Like, what?
Yeah. Glory days. in a sense, you know? Yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be fun. I wish I could do something like that.
Dude, well, Sean, thanks for hanging out with us here at Stage Right today, man. It's a pleasure to have you and see you and catch up, dude.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Everyone, go check out Slogan. His art is incredible. If you need any sort of album cover or art guidance or any art services, hit this guy up. You're going to be just blown out of the water from what he does, dude.
Appreciate that, man.
Dude, love you, Sean, man. Thanks again.
Love you too, man.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much.
Later, Sean. Good to see you, brother.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to give us a like, subscribe, and a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and on Instagram at Stage Right Podcast. Thank you. See you next week.